Good morning and welcome to worship here at Second Baptist Church. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. As you saw from the video, this is a special weekend in the life of our nation as we seek to honor our veterans and those who have served our country so that we can enjoy doing the things that we even do this morning and worshiping with freedom. This morning, I know there are some in here that have served in the past our country or maybe currently serving. If that is you, if you've served in any form of military service, branch of service, would you please stand this morning and stay standing for just a moment? We'd like to honor you. Thank you so much. Remain standing for just a little bit. I also want to invite those if you're a family member of someone who served, would you please stand as well? And the reason why I do this, amen. The reason why I do this is because we see how many lives are affected by those who serve, because not only those who serve sacrifice, but family sacrifice as well. So thank you. As we honor our veterans and their families this weekend, I just want to say a thank you on behalf of Second Baptist Church. You may be seated. Thank you so much. All right. We have a great morning here at Second Baptist Church because we have another baptism we're going to celebrate here in just a moment. But before we do, I'd like to share with you a few things that are happening in the life of our church. You see in your bulletin the activities that are going on, our ongoing ministry on Wednesday nights. Just be aware of that. Our kids' ministries, our student ministries, as well as our college activities. Seek to get involved there with our not only our children's ministry, but also we have our prayer time on Wednesday night, meal at 5:30, 6 o'clock you have those kids and those youth ministries happening as well as the prayer time. And then at 7:15 we have a meal for college students and 8 o'clock worship there. So be praying for that. If you can't come and participate, be praying for those opportunities because we seek to invest and not only invest, but share the gospel with those that are here on Wednesday night. And lives are going to be changed as a result. So be praying for that. Also want to make note that next Sunday evening, we have our quarterly family business meeting. Just be aware of that. It's at 5 o'clock. And then immediately following that, we will be packing our Thanksgiving food boxes. So if you just plan, if you will, to hang around after the business meeting, and we'll get that taken care of quickly. We have our goal this year is 25 families that we hope to bless with those Thanksgiving food boxes. Many of you have already brought back items for those food boxes, the non-perishable items. Thank you so much for taking those sticky notes. There are a few left. The board is out in the foyer area this morning, so if you haven't had an opportunity to grab a sticky note and bring back those items, I would encourage you to do so, and I do want to say thank you up front. Also, if you could have those items back to us by next Sunday, because we will be packing those food boxes, we would greatly appreciate that. With that, we're delivering those food boxes, not this Monday, but next Monday on the 20th. If you're interested in being a part of delivering those to the families, we schedule times and we begin at 9 o'clock. So if you're able to be here around 8:30, we'll get you loaded up and send you on. And throughout the day, we have various times where we'll be delivering and being a blessing to those families on the 20th. That's Monday the 20th. I also wanted to mention that next week, we're already talking about that, it's Thanksgiving next Thursday, not this Thursday, but next Thursday. So be aware of when the office is open there, you see in your bulletin, when it's closed. If there is an emergency, obviously you can contact Pastor Chris or myself, and we can attend to those needs as we have opportunity. I also wanted to mention that we have the Ladies Mission Banquet. Actually, it's Women's Banquet this year. We're changing the name a little bit, right, Daydream? So if you're interested in being a part of that, see Daydream to sign up, $10 a ticket. Also, we just want to say a word of thanks to those who brought items for our food pantry. It is stocked right now, but just be aware of those needs as they come up. I'm sure we're going to have more families show up here at the end of the year with needs. So thank you so much for being a part of the ongoing ministry of Second Baptist Church. I think that's all this morning. Instead of going into a time of prayer, I'm going to turn our attention to the baptistry now as we have an opportunity. opportunity to celebrate what God is doing in the life of another believer. Amen? Pastor Chris.
Hey, good morning. So glad that you are here. Again, welcome. Again, let me say a special thanks to all those who have served, those of you that represent families who have served. Very grateful for you and thankful for you. It's been an incredible time in the life of our church, so many baptisms and getting this opportunity. Let me just remind you this morning about what baptism is and what baptism is not. Baptism first is an inward expression of an outward expression of an inward decision. It is a telling of what Jesus has done in our life. The other thing is it's a step of obedience. There's no such thing. You don't see in the New Testament, particularly in the book of Acts and on, of a believer who is not following the Lord in being baptized. And so that's why sometimes people get it confused as if it's a part of salvation. It is not a part of salvation, but rather it is that step of obedience. And so that's what we're seeing this morning. And I'm excited for you to hear Miche's story. And looking forward to her sharing that with you. Miche's from Jamaica, so she thinks we all have a funny accent. But anyway, so excited for her to come and share her story. So, Miche, you ready?
Rejection, abuse, depression, and anxiety. As a child and teenager, all I'd ever experienced was hurt and pain by those who I believed should have loved me the most. I was lost, broken, and looking for acceptance and love in places that didn't produce good fruit. On my last suicide attempt, God came to me and told me I should never do that again and that He would take care of me. At this time, I didn't have a full understanding of Christ and what it meant to follow Him, as I wasn't exposed to anyone who lived for and by Christ. I knew that I needed to know the one who saved me, so I wrote letters to God every day for a year in hopes of connecting and uniting with Him. On August 15, 2020, I came across a testimony on YouTube. As I watched this video, I knew that Christ was all I needed. The puzzle pieces connected, the T's were crossed and the I's dotted, and immediately all made sense in my spirit. I felt wrapped in the safety of the arms of Christ. There was no doubt or question in my mind that Christ was the answer. No longer was I searching for love and acceptance in things of the world, as Christ had allowed me to experience His unconditional, never-ending, and never-failing love. Upon this acceptance, I was filled with a peace that surpassed all understanding, and I knew that I made it home. No longer was I searching without a sense of direction and in a place of hurt and loss. Christ welcomed me, and I knew that there was no turning back. He filled me with a love that to this day is hard to comprehend. He put out the fire in my mind that was kept aflame by depression and anxiety and replaced it with a stream of living water. Though this journey hasn't been easy, each day I'm reminded of Christ's grace, mercy, and love. I choose to view each and every aspect of my life as a garden that needs to be tended to by Christ and Christ alone. I've truly never experienced a love like this, a love that stands above condemnation and one that doesn't judge. Christ accepted me when those around me rejected me and mocked me. He is without a doubt the way, the truth, and the life, and the only gate to true peace and freedom. My goal is to be more and more like Jesus as He continues to transform my heart and heal the pains of the past. My life is now filled with purpose, love, peace, and direction. I've been made whole and healed in Christ. He stayed true to the promise He made me, and He has forever been Jehovah Jireh in all aspects of my life.
Amen. Miche, it's my understanding you've asked Jesus to be the Lord, boss, and master of your life. Is that right? Well, it's upon that profession of faith, my sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with Him through baptism and death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Man, what an incredible testimony, right? That, man, God seeks after us. God finds us, redeems us, and changes us in every aspect of our lives. And so, man, what an incredible testimony we got to hear this morning. What an incredible message we've already seen, right? Because of this, we are buried with him through baptism into death and raised to walk in newness of life. Picture of what has happened. And so, man, I'm excited this morning. I'm excited about what God is doing at our church, and looking forward to God continuing to work in the lives of every one of us as we continue to seek after him. So let me lead us in a word of prayer, and then we will worship together. God in heaven, you are good and gracious and kind and merciful. God, I pray this morning that everything that we say and do would exalt the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for this testimony of redemption and salvation. God, I thank you for this demonstration of obedience and all that you're doing. I pray, God, you would continue to work for your glory and your name's sake. God, I pray as we sing, God, that we would sing in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. Lord, you be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing about the love of God? God so loved. Life down at the foot of the cross, and God will take care of it, because Jesus Oh, he was sufficient for all things. And as we think about that, we think about the wonderful goodness of God that is overflowing to us each and every day. Let's continue to sing.
Bring me in more.
Close your eyes and make it a prayer to God.
You have your Bible, and I hope that you do. Would you open to the Gospel of John? The Gospel of John, and I'm going to be preaching from there. But before I do, just want to share something with you that's on my heart this morning. Lindsay, if you could go back to the chorus of Heart of Worship and put those lyrics up on the screen. I want to share with you, I realize, we are so incredibly blessed as a church. I think sometimes we don't necessarily realize it, blessed by folks with incredible voices and gifts and music and all those sorts of things, and really grateful for all that the Lord has given us, because I was sharing with some folks this week, there was a time and a place where I was at a church and I was the music director. I'm going to give you a chance. We are blessed as a church. Come on, you can do better than that. We're blessed as a church. Amen. Listen, I hear y'all, right? I'm telling you, I was the music director, and whew, bless their heart. And you know what? And I promise you, listen carefully. I'm going to use words carefully. In spite of my lack of a music ability, God still met with us. God still showed up at services. God saved people. And God did incredible things. In spite of the absence of music ability in me, okay? I mean, I had an iPod and a clicker and a microphone, and I should have had none of those. Like, that is not in my gift set, all right? I can assure you of that. Here's where my concern is. My concern in many of our churches, and at times, our church, we have fallen victim to the idea that somehow church and church services are about me and my preferences. And that is of great concern to me, because last I checked, and I've read it, Jesus died for the church and it's his bride. That was a good place to say amen, but that's okay. I'll give you some more opportunities, all right? Jesus died for his church. It is his bride. This is his church. I try to be really careful when I talk to people about this is not my church. It's his church. Yes, it's mine in a sense. Man, this is where I belong. I love the church fame, all that sort of thing. And there's some level of ownership that, hey, this is ours, our second family. But at the end of the day, it is his bride, his church. And today, it's not about me and it's not about you. And listen, our worship, our singing is not about you and not about me. Listen, I promise you it's not about me. We sing songs every week that are not on my Spotify playlist. I promise you. I don't dictate we're going to sing this song, this song, this song. Now, there's sometimes, man, the Lord just stirs a message in my heart and there's a song going, hey, I really wish we would sing this. There's certainly. But I want to encourage you to consider and think about the importance of this and going, do we have enough spiritual maturity to press into this and go, hey, I know we're in a season of change. And I know, man, we've got some folks in our church that are upset and struggling with this. But it's not about my preferences and it's not about your preferences. And I would just want you to think about, look at the lyrics that we just sang. The last part of this, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. And if this is going to be a church that the hand of God is on, that has to be true. That everything we do is about Jesus. It's not about my preferences. And so I understand there's going to be times where we sing songs that are not your preferred. I fully understand. And we are going to sing songs at times that are not my preference at all. But here's what I'll commit to you as your pastor. We will sing songs that glorify the Lord Jesus and are biblically sound. And I think we can lean into that. And we can press in. And if we've got some spiritual maturity about us, we can go, hey, there's going to be weeks that I don't particularly, it's not going to be my favorite. But if you'll look at the lyrics and press into those and focus on that, and we're going to continue to grow and seek the Lord and trust Him and ask God to do what only He can in the days ahead. Amen? Well, let's look at the Gospel of John. And John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to begin looking at verse 43 on to the end of the chapter. We're almost near the end of chapter 1 here. And I'm excited to share with you this morning this message I've titled, He Sees You. And so if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? The Bible says, the following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. God, I pray now you would meet with us. That Holy Spirit, you would fall on this place and you would captivate us. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would hear a word from you, and God, we would be obedient to that. God, you would do exceedingly above all that we could ask, imagine, or hope for. And God, you be glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this message, "He sees you." And as John is walking through this, again, Jesus is the Son of God, i.e. He is God. That's the demonstration this morning. That's the focus that we have. And so if you're taking notes this morning, the main idea is this, is that Jesus sees you and knows you. Jesus sees you and He knows you. So the question then this morning is, have you followed Him? Man, we've already heard an incredible testimony about somebody hearing the gospel, this testimony, and following Jesus, surrendering to Him. And so the question is, are you following Him? And so there are three truths from the text I want us to see this morning. Number one, Jesus sees and finds people. Jesus sees and finds people. Notice verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and He found Philip, and He said to him, "Follow me." And now verse 47 and 48. Jesus saw Nathanael coming before Him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Man, there's some incredible testimony here, some incredible encounter with Jesus. That Jesus, as He's going along, you remember recently we preached on John has gone before Jesus saying, "Hey, I'm not the light, He's the light." Folks are around, He sees Jesus, says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And man, as John is proclaiming this, just the day before, we see that it says that John says, "Hey, behold the Lamb of God," that some of his very own disciples went and followed Jesus. And John is, you maybe read this sometimes, but we read about what some theologians, they'll call them the synoptic gospels, synoptic. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what we refer to as the synoptic gospel. They have a lot of the material that is similar, although they're not necessarily all in chronological order. And then you have the Gospel of John, which is kind of off in his own little lane a little bit, but he's writing about this. So we have some accounts of things that are happening and transpiring in the Gospel of John that we don't see in the other Gospels. And so this account that we have of this unfolding where Jesus is calling these early disciples to Himself to follow Him. And so verse 43, notice this. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and He found Philip. Jesus found him. And then you skip on down to verse 47. He said, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward Him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to Him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree," look at this, "I saw you." I saw you. Hey, can I just remind you this morning that, yes, in some sense of the word, and I understand what we mean when we say this, that we find Jesus, we found a relationship with God, but ultimately when it really gets boiled down to the cold, hard fact of it, it's the Lord who found you. You were the one that was lost. You were the one that was wayward. You were the one without any hope and sense of direction, whether you were 5 years old or 55 years old or 85 years old, that you were lost without Christ, and He is the one that found you. Listen to the language of what He says at the end of verse 48. He says, I saw you. What's that mean to you this morning? That many of you, I trust, have surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. But long before you ever bowed your knee to Him, long before you ever said, here I am, Lord, long before you ever gave your heart and life to Him, He saw you. He knew right where you're at. He knows the pain and the struggle and the heartache. Man, as I was preparing for this and then visited with Misha and read her testimony, just reminded as she shared that, man, God saw her. Knew right where she was at. He didn't orchestrate, He didn't put His stamp of approval on a lot of the ugly things that she went through and a lot of the things she struggled with, all that kind of thing, but knew right where she was at. And that is true for every one of us this morning. Right here, right now, God sees you. And then back in verse 43, it tells us, He says, following that, He found Philip and said, follow Me. I just want to encourage you. Maybe that's what the Lord's saying to you today. Maybe you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. Maybe you think you've been okay. And maybe recently you've been sitting through messages like this. And God's calling you. God is wooing you to Himself, saying, follow Me. I can't encourage you enough that you'll surrender your heart and life to Him. Ezekiel 34:11 says, for thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself. Anytime in Hebrew or Greek that there's a sort of repeating of, it's an added emphasis. And that's what Ezekiel's doing here. He says, indeed I myself will search for My sheep and seek them out. Luke 19:10, Jesus said this by way of a mission statement of His life and ministry. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus came for this very purpose, to see us and to call us to Himself, that we may surrender our heart and life to Him and be saved. And so, number one, Jesus sees and finds people. Number two, found people see and find others. Because we do what the Father does. We replicate. We're created in His image and we're conformed to His image. So we do what God has called us to do. And we do what God's done in our life. Now, with the understanding, the reality that, right, we can't do what Jesus does in terms of saving people. But there's people around us that are hurting and struggling and need. So look at verse, again, 43 on down to verse 46. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and He found Philip and said to him, follow Me. There it is. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found Him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophet wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. See, it's fascinating here that we have this interaction with Nathanael. He tells us that Philip was from Bethsaida. And then Nathanael, he's questioning, can anything good come? And Nathanael's from a small place as well. It's almost being from a small town asking if anything good can come out of the next small town. But what's happening here is that Jesus is sought after. He has called Philip to Himself. And he has called him, said, follow Me. But then we have that Philip was from side of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael in verse 45. Why? Because people who are found go and find people. And this is the reality, is that God saved you on purpose and with purpose. He saw you. He called you to Himself. Now He has placed you at your address, at your workplace, in your family, in this church, in this community, for such a time as this because you have a circle of friends and influence that nobody else in this room has. It doesn't matter how close you are. It doesn't matter husband and wife, brother and sister. Whatever it is, that you have a circle of friends that God has called you to influence. And that's exactly what Philip does. Philip is found by Jesus, called to follow him, and he can't wait to go find somebody else. Say, man, you got to come check this out. Man, I found the Messiah. I found the one that is prophesied about. And I'm afraid that some of us, it's been too long since we got saved. It's been too long since Jesus radically changed your life. And we're not as excited about going and finding others because we have in some way forgotten the shiny has worn off, the new has worn off, and we've forgotten how Jesus radically changed our life because maybe early on we were excited to tell folks, we were excited to share with folks. Hey, one of the reasons that baptism is so important because Jesus has not called you to a non-public relationship with him. Every person that God has saved, it is for the purpose of his own glory, and it's for public ministry because he's called us to go and find others. He says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Notice the invitation, saying, hey, come check this out. You don't want to take my word for it, fine, but come and see Jesus. He'll do things in your life you never dreamed of, you never imagined. We see this, we saw this last week, John 1, back up in verse 42. And it says that and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated the stone. He brought him to Jesus. Matthew 4, 18 through 21. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to him, said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. In the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, he called them. I want you to notice this morning from this text that as he's calling these two brothers, he's calling Peter and Andrew, and Jesus sees them and they're fishing, says, hey, follow me. But notice what he says, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. What's Jesus talking about being fishers of men? Obviously, he is meeting them in their context, that these are fishermen. They catch fish. But being a fisher of men means they are chasing after, they are looking to reach people with the gospel of Jesus. That's what it means to be a fisher of men, to be a soul winner, to be somebody who shares the gospel that calls people to follow Jesus. That's what it is to be a fisher of men. And I want you to notice this. Look at the text, what he says. He says, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Let me ask you this. Do you think that for these two brothers, as Jesus is saying this, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. Do you think in their life it was the will of God for these two to be fishers of men? It is, right? That's exactly what Jesus is calling them. He says, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. So we can say it's the will of God for them as they follow Jesus that they will be fishers of men. It's not optional. There was no dialogue here going, okay, Jesus, well, I'll follow you, but I'm not going to be a fisher of men. That's just not really my thing. That's not at all saying, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. Can I encourage you this morning that the same call and will of God is still on your life as a believer? When Jesus saved you, the call of God was follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. You're walking in obedience when you're sharing the gospel, inviting others to himself, looking to be a soul winner for the glory of God. Now here's where it gets hard. If following God, if following Jesus means that I am a fisher of men, what does it mean when I'm not fishing for men? Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. What does it mean when you claim to be following God and you're not a fisher of men? I believe as you read through the New Testament, you read through the Gospels, you read through what Jesus calls us to, there's no such thing as a private Christian. There's no such thing as man, I'm going to follow God in all areas of my life except these few. Hey, these guys were fishermen, tax collectors, all kinds of jobs that nobody else wanted. And probably they didn't have necessarily maybe the strongest people skills. I mean, you can look and read, and Peter didn't necessarily think a whole lot before he spoke. Some of y'all can relate. Me too. But you know what? Jesus saved his soul, changed his life. And when the Spirit of God got inside of Peter, God used him in incredible ways. And you can say about Peter, can you say about Peter that Peter was a fisher of men? Yeah. This still means yes. Everybody okay? All right. So I'm just asking you this morning, if you claim to be following God, are you fishing for men? Are you seeking to find others to tell them about what Jesus has done in your life? How they too can have a relationship with Christ? Are you inviting them to church where they'll at least hear a message about how to follow Jesus? He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I think I've shared this story with you before, but I think it bears repeating because it's just been an incredible testimony that when I was serving in Memphis, it was a requirement to be at Mid-America to have to go out when you're enrolled in class, you have to at least attempt to share the gospel with a person you believe to be lost without Christ. You had to do that at least one time per week, every week you were enrolled in school. Or theoretically, you could make all A's and not get credit for your classes. They took practical missions and evangelism that serious. It made a lot of people uncomfortable because they claimed to be, well, Mid-America is just legalistic. No, it forced me to learn how to share my faith. And I thank God for it. But as a part of that, it's sort of a little bit how I got connected with Brother Ronnie, and we went out week after week and all that kind of thing. And one particular Monday, we were going out, and as Ronnie often did, there would be times where God would lay certain projects, certain apartments or corners or whatever it was, certain area that God would lay on his heart, and that's just where we were going. But there were times that we would meet up and he just really wouldn't be sure. And so just begin to pray. God, would you have me to go left, right, or go straight? And man, he would just try to hear from the Lord and go wherever God would have us to go. And so this was one of those particular days. Didn't know exactly where to go and just began praying. And we wound up just a little ways down the road and pulled over and got out. And there were a few people out, but not just a whole lot. And normally, in confession time, I didn't go with Brother Ronnie, because if you go witnessing Brother Ronnie, you don't go witnessing. Brother Ronnie goes witnessing, and you get to listen, right? And so that's usually how it's funny, because one of his big rules was you never interrupted. But if you ever start a conversation and he came up sharing the gospel, and you're sharing the gospel, you weren't going to finish sharing the gospel. He was going to get in there somehow or whatever. But nonetheless, always a great opportunity for me to learn. And so we bail out of the van, and everybody takes off, and always a rule of going in twos and being partners, all that kind of thing. And so I got stuck, left with opportunity, however you want to put it, to go with Brother Ronnie. And so we go up into this apartment complex, and on the back side there was this little patio, and there were four ladies that were sitting in chairs there. And so walked up to them, and Brother Ronnie started a conversation, visiting with them, and next thing you know, man, they all four pray to receive Christ. Give the heart to Jesus. And then following that conversation, we're just visiting with them for a moment. And listen to what one of the ladies said. I was there, heard her say it. She said, we were talking last night about how we didn't have any hope, just struggling, hurting, in need of something. And she said, I prayed last night. God, if you care, would you send somebody? And he sent us there the next morning. And they gave the heart to Jesus. Brother Ronnie shared the gospel. Brother Ronnie didn't save them. I didn't save them. I'm just praying. I didn't get any chance to talk. Nothing we did. But people who follow God are soul winners. They're fishers of men. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He called Philip to himself. Philip went and found somebody. And let me just pause here. If you're not actively looking to share the gospel with folks, would you ask God first to forgive you and to break your heart over lost people? That we may have boldness to share the gospel, to invite people to church, that they may hear. So, number one, Jesus sees and finds people. Number two, found people see and find others. Number three, found people see the miraculous. Verse 49. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? Listen to this statement. You will see greater things than this. And he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angel of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now what's interesting about this last verse, it recalls us to a time when God was coming down on Jacob. Jacob had this dream and he's having this dream and the angel descending and ascending, and they call the name of that place Bethel. The place of God. So Genesis 28:12 says, then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angel of God were ascending and descending upon it. And then they named that place Bethel, the place of God, the house of God. And there was something significant about that physical place. So I think part of what's happening here is that Philip knew that the religious leaders would know this. And so what he's saying, man, I am God. I'm God come in the flesh. But then also he's telling the disciples here, particularly Nathanael, that you're going to see greater things than this. There are going to be greater works that you see. And the disciples saw that. We read about those, right? We see the lame that are healed, the paralyzed that are healed. We see the blind receive sight. We see the deaf gain hearing. We see the leprous set free. We see right the self-righteous become saved and humbled by God and used by Him. We see God use some incredible misfits for the glory and honor of His name. We see God come down in the Mount of Transfiguration. Man, they saw some incredible things that they never dreamed of. That Jesus did because of who He is and what He's done. And friend, you will see greater things than these. Pastor, I've never seen a paralyzed person get up and walk. I've never seen the dead raised to life. I've never seen the blind receive sight. And never seen those things. Have you ever been in a service or a conversation where somebody comes forward and they said, I've repented of my sins and placed my faith and trust in Christ. In a spiritual way, you've seen the dead come to life. Hey, Jesus did some incredible miracles, but the greatest miracle that we see today is when a lost person repents of their sins and places their faith and trust in Christ. That's greater works. It's still the work of God. It takes all of God. And that's what we got to understand. Sometimes, man, we see children come forward and we go, okay, yeah, great, hallelujah. But man, I'm telling you, for the five-year-old that walks, that repents, places their faith and trust in Christ, it is just as much a miracle as it is the 85-year-old agnostic man. It still takes the blood of Christ. It still takes the cross and the saving of Jesus for them, for the salvation of a little child as it does an old man or woman. Man, if you'll walk with the Lord, if you'll follow Him, and listen to me, if you'll be a fisher of men, you'll get to see things that you never dreamed of. Never. God will do things in your life, God will do things in the life of our church that we never dreamed of. Listen, what are the chances of Misha finding her way to Second Baptist Church and us getting the opportunity to baptize her? God does things that we never think about, we dream about. And if you'll follow Him, man, God will do the miraculous in your life. Luke 15:10, look at what this says. It says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Hey, Let me destroy some theology and some good old songs sometime, all right? I know it. I'm you're like, you're picking on music today. No, I'm not, all right? But look at what this text says. It says, likewise, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels. You know what you hear people say a lot of time? Oh, the angels are rejoicing today. Notice what it says. There's joy in the presence of the angels. If you read Hebrews, you know what it says? It talks about the things that the angels desire to look into. Hey, would you pause for just a moment? Think about this. We don't have a lot about angels in the Bible, just here and there. But you think about different things that angels get to do. Angels going into the presence of God at the beck and call. They go in the presence of God. They come out of the presence of God. They've got to see some incredible things. They see Jesus working firsthand. Man, all these things that are incredible. And man, they're there, they're ministering, they're singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. They're ministering to God. Yet the Bible says there's one thing that the angels desire to look into. And you know what that is? That's at the moment that you and I repent of our sins and place our faith and trust in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus died for us. He died for mankind that He may save mankind. And the angels are sitting there going, man, we've never known the love of God like that. We've never known the love of God that He bankrupted heaven, enriched earth, that we may have salvation. So Luke 15 says, I'm seeking after the lost. And he says, there's more joy in the presence of the angels than over one person who repents than 99 just persons who needs no repentance. That's why I say when people walk the aisle, when people repent, when we see the visible picture of what happened spiritually, man, the people of God ought to be shouting because that's what's heaven doing. And you know what? It's not angels that are going, glory, glory, sure, they may be joining in, but it's the saints of God who have gone on before us and go, man, glory to God, that's my grandson. Glory to God, that's another believer for the sake of the kingdom. Glory to God, that's another fisher of men. Man, we go to football games and we lose our ever-loving mind. That's what my mama would say. We go to basketball games and we go absolutely crazy. We dress out, look like a fool. We shout up and down. We leave ticked off or leave like, man, we just won $18 million. We're so excited over those things. And hey, that's fine. That's all well and good as long as we keep it in perspective and go, man, why don't the people of God celebrate what the things of God and rejoice? But instead, we want to fight about this, and we want to bicker about that, and we want to complain about that, and do all these sorts of things. And I'm telling you, dear friend, man, life is too short. Hell is too hot. Heaven is too sweet. We need a strong, healthy church full of people following God and being fishers of men, that the world may know Christ. Man, do you think the prostitute or the cracked addict gives one iota what we sang this morning? Man, do you think the person that's sitting there on suicide watch cares what color our carpet is? Do you think, man, the down and out, the nobodies of the world are sitting there going, boy, I wonder if he wore a suit or a tie today? But you know what? Down on their knees. Well, God, do you care? Do you care? God, have mercy on us. God, raise up a bunch of nobodies with a hot heart for the Lord Jesus and a passion to go and tell a lost and dying world that you don't have to go to hell, that Jesus came, that you can know Him, and you can have salvation. God, have mercy on us. If you don't know Christ, be saved today. And if you do know Him, I don't know how in the world we're not on the altar this morning begging God to forgive us and being committed more now than we ever have been to the mission in which God has left for us. Folks, we don't have time for anything else. Let's pray. Jesus, you're good. And I pray right now, if there's anybody here that's lost and doesn't know you, God, would you save them? God, save them before it's too late. Give them grace to repent of their sin and place their faith and trust in you. If that's you this morning, would you just cry out to God where you're at? Saying, God, that's what I need. I need to be saved. Trust Him. Surrender. Give everything to Him. The Bible says if you call out to Him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call out to Him, and the Bible says He will save you. You may pray something like this, but listen, it's not about repeating words. Salvation is so much greater, but it's turning your life, repenting of your sin, and placing your faith and trust in Him. Pray something like this. Say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. In just a minute, I'm going to pray again. And when I pray, if you just prayed that prayer, or maybe you prayed on your own for salvation, man, if you meant it with all your heart, then here's my challenge to you. You come. Say, Pastor Chris, I prayed and asked God to save me and forgive me of my sins. And I meant it with all my heart. And then the second part of this invitation is for believers. Some of us, man, we claim to be following God, but man, we haven't been a fisher of men. And we need to repent. We need to ask God to forgive us. We need to ask God for us celebrating all sorts of things except for what God's excited about. And we need to ask God for spending a lot of time and energy on things that don't matter a hill of beans in terms of eternity. So when I pray, you come. God in heaven, I pray that for every person who repented of their sins and placed their faith and trust this morning, God, that you would give them boldness to come even now. And Lord Jesus, I pray for those of us that know you, and we need to repent. We need to get on this altar and beg you to move and to work in the life of our church, in our own lives. That God, forgive us for not being soul winners. Forgive us for not being fishers of men. God, help us to respond to you in this moment. I pray this in Jesus' name. If God spoke to your heart today, would you come and spend time at this altar? Salvation, you come. Whatever God's doing in your heart and your life.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. So I throw in my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for hearts in hallelujah, hallelujah. One response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy of me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. Except for heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. I'm going to ask our men if you'll begin to take your places and help us take up the offering today. Just want to say thank you so much for worshiping with us today. If you're a guest, thank you. Hope we'll be able to connect with you. Just want to encourage you that as we leave today, it's an opportunity for us to, as we leave, to continue our act of worship by giving. Giving to the Lord what He's first given us. And so last week just challenged you from now to the end of the year. You have the note in the bulletin about where we're at financially for the year. And so just need your faithfulness and continue to give. And it's getting near the end of the year, and there'll be opportunities for year-end giving if that is something that the Lord's leading you to do. And so grateful for you. Before I pray, I want to share with you in my evangelism class at Mid-America, Dr. B. Gray Allison, founding president of Mid-America. I took evangelism with him, 7-week course. We went to class Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And every Friday, he would stand up and he would say, you know, right before we'd leave, he'd say, "All right, boys, the woods is full of them. Go and get them." That was his commissioning statement. And so just thinking this morning, going, "All right, the woods is full of them. Go and get them. All right, go and tell. Be a fisherman. Invite people to church." I challenged you last week to commit by the end of the year, influence somebody that they may be here on a regular basis by the end of the year. And God, may God use that and multiply us for His kingdom and His glory. Let's stand together and we will pray and be dismissed. Thank you so much for being here. Hey, special, make sure, do all that you can to be here next week. It will be a special Sunday in the life of our church, as our church has recognized two men in our congregation great candidates for serving as deacons. We have voted on them. They've gone through the ordination process. And next week I'll be preaching on the life and ministry of a deacon, and then we will be ordaining two deacons for the first time in several years. And so be exciting time. So I hope you'll make plans to be here next Sunday for that, all right? Let's pray together. Jesus, You're good. We love and adore You. Thank You for today. Lord, I pray that as we give today, that we would give in a way that brings honor and glory to Your name. Lord, thank You for what You've first given us. Lord, I pray You'd help us to go forth this week, be fishers of men for Your glory. Lord, we love You, we praise You, we thank You for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For God so loved the world that He